Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four highly talented, clever, individual players of this game. And thence again, they're going to show their humorous invention, their verbal dexterity, and their creative ingenuity as they speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four individuals are Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Tony Hawkes, and Clement Freud. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Claire Bartlett, who's going to help me keep the score and blow her whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from Foy in that wonderful, beautiful county of Cornwall. And we are part of the Daphne du Maurier Festival here in this tented village in Cornwall. And we start this week with Clement Freud, and who better? Clement, the subject is, oh, how apt, how to make a Cornish pasty. Tell us something about that, Clement, in this game, starting now.
You make a Cornish pasty with pastry, gravy, meat, onion, and potatoes.
Cornish challenge.
Well, I don't know why, but it's clearly deviation. That's not the traditional Cornish pasty recipe at all.
I think when a Cornish audience responds en masse like that, it must be deviation. I have a suspicion it was the word gravy that threw you. Was that? Right there, that's the deviation. And you have a point, of course, for a correct challenge, Paul. You take over the subject. You have 54 seconds available. How to make a Cornish pasty. Starting now.
Well, it's very much as Clement said, apart from the gravy. What you do is, once you've put all the ingredients together, you then sort of fold the pastry over, get a little crinkle.
Clement Freud challenge.
You don't.
Well, that could be his Cornish pasty.
Well, mine was my Cornish pasty.
So I think that was an incorrect challenge. You still have 45 seconds. I know you don't want it. And another point, of course, Paul, how to make a Cornish pasty starting now.
Put the oven on. That's always very important because the heat source is something that's going to make the pasty actually bake. So once you've got your dish in front of you, you pick it up. If you've got gloves which are impervious to heat, some that are made out of asbestos would probably be wrong because that's been shown to be a health hazard. So instead, get something that has a thick cloth to it, then pick up the Cornish...
Clement challenge.
We have picked up.
Oh. Yes, you've picked up before. So Clement... Correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. 25 seconds are still available. Tell us more about how to make a Cornish pasty starting now.
I think you would be foolish to make a Cornish pasty when everyone should make lots of Cornish pasties. While you are at it, whether you use gravy or not...
Tony challenge.
You shouldn't make a Cornish pasty when you're at it. It's just stupid. It's a waste of, you know, concentrate on one thing at a time.
Yes. Tony, we give you a bonus point for that. Clement was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. He keeps the subject. 14 seconds. How to make a Cornish pasty, Clement, starting now.
There are people who say...
Paul Chums.
Well, it is repetition of gravy. He said gravy before. Then Tony buzzed, but he said gravy twice.
He did say gravy twice.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, you can't. We've never allowed retrospective challenges.
You know what I always do? I always try to be as fair as possible. I always try to balance everything out. And I give the benefit of the doubt to you, Clement. 13 seconds. How to make a Cornish pasty starting now.
Balancing a Cornish pasty is a very difficult thing to do. You have to go to a school where balance is taught between pottery and history and get a leek.
Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, and whoever is speaking in this game when the whistle goes gains an extra point, so he's naturally got a lead ahead of Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes and Julian Clary in that order. And Tony Hawkes, will you take the next round? The subject is shells. Tell us something about shells in just a minute, starting now.
They say if you hold a shell up to your ear, you can hear the sea. But this is nearly always the case because you are standing on a beach at the time. which is where shells are predominantly found. Earlier today, here in Cornwall, the lovely village of Foy, I walked along the harbour area, possibly the beach. I don't know what you call...
Julian Challenge.
You repeated... you repeated beach.
I repeated beach. Julian, you've got in. We're going to hear from you. And there are 38 seconds to tell us something about shells starting now.
It's all very well, people going on about how pretty shells are and how they hold them to their ears and everything, but what they don't realise is those shells are actually creatures' homes at one time. That's where they live, and somehow they've been ripped out away from their mother's breast, and that shell is then being used for decorative purposes. And I think it's awful. Whenever I look at a shell, I see the organic hole, and I imagine the little thing wiggling away in there, thinking, oh, well, I'll just do some tidying, maybe a bit of hoovering. Why don't I rearrange the furniture inside my shell?
Well, Julian went for a considerable time on that and did very well, and also was speaking, so Mr. Wynne gained that extra point. And he's equal with Paul Merton in second place, just behind our leader, Clement Freud. And, Julian, it's also your turn to begin. The subject is the Celts. Tell us something about the Celts in this game, starting now.
The Celts ate a lot of shellfish, which was what made them very strong and boisterous. And, Lord, they liked a good ruck. But there aren't many of them around nowadays. They've been pushed round to the outsides of the country, but they've still got their old funny ways. The Celts like to worship trees, and many an evening I've spent with my arms round a sapling. Celts generally predominate in, well, in Cornwall, of course, and Ireland and Scotland, and they, you can tell what they look like from the shape of their heads. Quite large.
Paul Challenge.
You can tell what they look like by the shape of their heads.
That's what he said.
That's nonsense.
I think so. You can't always tell a Celt by the shape of their head.
Well, no. Yeah, exactly. You can, you know...
They're all different.
Exactly.
I mean,
no, what I'm saying is you can tell what they look like. You can tell
by looking
the,
at them.
What the face is.
I mean, that's a revelation to me.
No, but if you can't look at their face and you come up behind them and just feel their heads, you can see what they look like.
Well, excuse me, I'm not going to go around feeling the back of the heads of Celts just to please you.
Well, it wouldn't do for us all to be the same, would it?
Yeah. I think I have to give the benefit of the doubt on this occasion to Paul Merton. So, Paul, you have a point and the subject, and 25 seconds, the Celts starting now.
I come from Irish stock. My grandfather, I never met my mother's father. He was a fisherman. I think his name was Peter, and he was lost at sea. And so, unfortunately, we never sort of came across him. It's a great shame, because I wonder what he would have been like. He was quite tall, apparently, and my cousin...
Tony Challenge.
Well, I was going to get him on deviation because he was only talking about one Celt, and the subject is Celts.
Well, it doesn't matter if the subject's Celts, you can still talk about one Celt.
Yes, so I've decided to withdraw my challenge. I felt inspired, and I wasn't.
That's no. Okay. It's lovely to have you keen.
Thank you.
And 9 seconds available for you, Paul, starting now.
Whenever he went out towards the sea, he had a Cornish pasty sticking in his pocket because there was an old saying in them days.
Clement Freud Charles.
Repetition of old.
When?
Good old before.
Ah, that would be the repetition aspect then.
Yes.
I don't remember saying old before, Nicholas, and you don't, but look on your
no,
face.
I don't.
So, you know.
Paul, you have the benefit of the doubt. Clement had it last time, you got it this time, so that's 2 seconds on the Celts with you starting now.
If you go to Edinburgh...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of if.
Not this round.
Oh, yes.
No.
You had the benefit last time.
He hasn't said if in this round.
No.
So, Paul, another point. 1 second. The Celts starting now.
Wales.
So, Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went. I mean, the other points in that round. Gained the extra point for speaking and is now moved forward. He's now in the lead ahead of Clement Freud, then Julian Clary, and then Tony Hawkes. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject here now is stealing the show. 60 seconds are available. Tell us something about it, starting now.
It's virtually impossible to steal the show when you're playing just a minute because everybody is so good. They all have their individual roles to play, and I'm convinced that if they listen to me praising them, they're going to impress me, and they're not going to interrupt me, and they're not...
Julian Charles.
hesitation and foibling around.
foibling around?
They're not going to.
A repetition.
Yes, that's right. Well done, Julian. 45 seconds. For you on stealing the show, Julian, starting now.
I once did a show called My Glittering Passage with a camp chorus girl in called Michael Dalton, who was notorious for stealing the show. We didn't realise this until we saw some photographs of the finale, and there we would be.
Tony,
you'll never know.
I'm sure you'll get the subject back shortly and then you'll be able to finish it. But there was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation as he stumbled over the word. So, Tony, you have the subject of stealing the show and there are 30 seconds starting now.
I intend to steal this show after it's been recorded. I'm going to get the cassettes and I'm going to run off into the dis...
Chairman Floyd Challenge.
Repetition of going, going, going.
Yes. Welcome, Clement. 24 seconds. Stealing the show starting now.
If you took a very large laundry basket to the new Tate Gallery and put into it all the Matisses and Picassos, you could rightly be accused of stealing the show. That is the only thing at the moment in that gallery.
Julian Challenge.
Well, they wouldn't all fit in a laundry basket.
Deviation, yes. I thought you were going to have a repetition. Right, so, Julian, you've got back in again. Another point to you. 9 seconds, stealing the show, starting now.
You could see in this photograph...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of gravy. Photograph. I've had photograph before.
Yeah, we did have the photograph before. 7 seconds for you, Paul, on stealing the show, starting now.
The one time I stole the show, I remember it very well, Hackney Empire, Julian Clary's production, and everybody loved me, whereas they booed him.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as a whistle wind, again an extra point for doing so, and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And, Julian, it's your turn to begin. The subject is how to celebrate your birthday. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
It's my birthday next Saturday, as luck would have it, and I'm going to have a garden party in my friend Hector's place. So think of me at 9 o'clock with a saveloy shoved down my throat. We're going to have lots of bunting and maybe a little glass of pink champagne, and an awful lot of my friends will be in attendance.
Clement Freud Challenge.
Friend.
I said friends.
It was friend. A lot of my friends.
Friend,
it was friend and friends then.
Sorry.
41 seconds, Julian. Incorrect challenge, another point. How to celebrate your birthday starting now.
I'm a little bit worried about the queue for the bathroom because Cleo Rockus is a close personal show business chum and I don't want her to have to stand round next to the likes of Paul Merton. I don't know if you're coming or not. Have I invited you? Probably not.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of not.
Yeah.
He's right. So, Paul, you have 25 seconds. Tell us something about how to celebrate your birthday, starting now.
Well, you've got to be careful on how you celebrate your birthday. If it's a big birthday, like your 40th, then you suppose you've got to have a really good drink, but you don't want to feel that terrible the next day, so you have to take it in moderation. For my particular birthday, the one between 39 and 41, oh, I had a terrible party.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of 40.
No, he didn't say that. Oh,
yes.
41,
40
yes.
And 41. 41, 40 he said 40 41. Twice.
Well, listen. I love your enthusiasm and commitment, audience. But those are the rules of just a minute. So he did repeat the word, 40. 9 seconds, how to celebrate your birthday, starting now.
A really good way to celebrate your birthday is to invite lots of people round to your house and give them cakes, maybe cups of tea, other things.
So, Tony Hawk speaking as a whistle wind, then gained an extra point. He's now one ahead of Paul Merton and two ahead of Julian Clary and two or three ahead of Clement Freud. In that order, as we move forward with Paul to start, and the subject now is apathy. Tell us something about apathy in just a minute, starting now.
Well, it's a characteristic of the teenager, isn't it, to be apathetic as I sit here in this marvellous tented auditorium with the rain paddling down on the roof. And those listeners who are in India and China will probably think, why is somebody frying bacon? Apathy is a terrible emotion when you've got it. It grips the soul. You sit around all day not doing anything. You can't find the energy to get up and turn the radio off when you hear drizzling coming down in digital stereo. Imagine all those people who invented radio like Marconi. Oh.
Yeah.
people.
But they did enjoy that very much, and you did go for... You went for 35 seconds.
Did I?
Yes, indeed. Great. But it was a correct challenge from Clement, and the rain is getting stronger on this tented village, so if anybody thinks we are frying up here, it is not true. It is that at the Daphne du Maurier Festival, it all takes place in a tent. I'm sure you'll bear with us.
Are you telling them that it's in a tent? Did you know this is a
telling
tent?
I'm telling
on... Has any of you looked up?
I'm telling our listeners, because this goes round the world and they want to know why the acoustics have changed.
Yes.
And that is the reason.
Yeah.
And so, Clement, you have the subject now. You have 25 seconds on apathy starting now.
A place where you will not find apathy is Home Park in Plymouth, where the Pilgrims play such inspired football that they won the third division last year and will almost definitely succeed.
Tony Challenge.
This is blatant ingratiation. Nothing whatsoever to do with the subject of apathy.
If you're talking about apathy, you want to talk about it and not where you don't find it. So I think Tony has a correct challenge. And... 10 seconds available, Tony, starting now.
Recently, I read this book on apathy. It was so good, I couldn't be bothered to put it down. And this is the thing about apathy. It stops you from being...
Paul Challenge.
That's not really apathy when you can't be bothered to stop reading a book. That's not apathy. That's carrying on reading the book.
No, you got enthusiastic. If I have to give it against Clement on the other challenge, I have to give it against you, Julian. Tony, on this one.
Couldn't be bothered to put it down. Is that not apathy?
No, because you're...
No, because you're doing something. You're reading. You're engaging in a...
No. I love this programme. The things we argue about.
It's fantastic.
It's like saying I couldn't be bothered to stop gardening.
Yes.
No. That's not apathy, is
Paul,
it?
Paul, you're absolutely right.
I am, aren't I?
You're right. And you have the benefit of the doubt. And you've cleverly got him with half a second to go. That's not apathy.
No.
That's keenness. Right. Starting now.
Lower stop than gravy.
Well, they're still very close. Paul Merton, Speaker of the Whistle, Wendy's now still equal with Tony Hawkes. They're both in the lead, just one or two ahead of Julian Clary and Clement Freud in that order. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is wreckers. Tell us something about wreckers in this game, starting now.
Wreckers, on the whole, are people who wreck.
Tony Charles.
Again, he's exhausted his knowledge on this subject.
Stop. If only we all did that.
Tony got in first. 55 seconds. Wreckers, Tony, starting now.
I don't think I know a great deal more about this subject than Clement Freud, although I imagine from the response from this Cornwall audience that it has some reference to wrecks that are found possibly at sea or near...
Paul Challenge.
Well, they're not found in land, are they? No, you don't get...
Just a minute. Let's be fair in this. A wreck can be washed up on the shore, and then it would be on land.
Look at yourself.
I think all those who are clapping should now leave. it was an incorrect challenge from Paul. Tony, you still have it. Wreckers, 42 seconds, starting now.
My friend Ron, I consider to be a wrecker because he's very into stock car racing, where they take a magnificent old vehicle, drive it round a track, and then, lo and behold, before you know it, it's a wrecker of a vehicle itself. Now, when I was once in Corn Place...
Paul Challenge.
Oh, hesitation, I'm afraid.
Yes, it was. 22 seconds. Tell us something about wreckers, Paul, starting now.
Perhaps I'm not the only one here who's nervous of sitting around all this electrical equipment as the rain is pouring down on the tent above us. What a terrible wrecking effect it would have on this show.
Julian Challenge.
Hesitation.
I'm not surprised, yes. After the thoughts he put in our mind. 11 seconds, Wreckers with you, Julian, starting now.
There's a gay club in Plymouth called Wreckers where you think you've met a friend for the night, you take them home, as soon as you turn the lights out, they disappear. Mm-hmm. Some kind of obscure reference there to Wreckers...
And Julian Clary speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's still in third place, but only just behind Paul Merton and Tony Hawks is one ahead, and then Clement Freud's trained them a little. And just for anybody who may only just now have tuned in, the background noise you hear genuinely is torrential rain coming onto this tented village where we're performing here at the Daphne du Maurier Festival in Foy.
The bacon's so, ready. Who wants sausages?
It's raining as only it can rain somewhere on the Cornish coast. Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the worst hotel I ever stayed in. Why do you laugh? Because, oh, there's some in Cornwall, are there? Right. Talk on the subject, Tony, starting now.
I try not to stay in hotels if I can avoid it, preferring caravans most of the time. However, the worst hotel I ever stayed in was an improvised affair made out of a tent. And it had a slight leak in the roof. And I had a terrible evening with this drip coming through. And his name was...
Paul's challenger.
It's deviation. You know, hotels aren't made out of tents, are they?
No, he's right. But
you don't get tented hotels.
Have
you ever stayed in a hotel that was a tent, Nicholas?
Yes, I did, in the desert.
Did you really?
In Dubai. You go and have a holiday in a tented village up in the desert in Dubai.
Excellent.
And
it's a marvellous holiday. What great news for me. Fantastic.
So you can have a hotel which is a tent.
Okay.
So I'm afraid it was an incorrect challenge. Tony, you've got another point. The worst hotel I ever stayed in, starting now.
So I called down to reception. I said, do you realise what's going on up here? And they said, this is room 324. You've made a ghastly error. Because the telephone system didn't work properly in this hotel, it was so bad. But I can tell you some good things.
Julian challenged.
I thought it'd be an act of kindness. Hesitation.
Actually hesitate, Julian. He was talking rubbish, I know, but I don't think you can have him for that. Do you think he was deviating from the worst
hotel? That is well, obviously.
I've got to be fair when the rules have just admitted. I don't think he was deviating. Utterly boring, but still, he keeps the subject. And there are 20 seconds, Tony, starting now.
And then a glove puppet appeared. My goodness, what's that doing here? Now, you can't say that's boring, Nicholas, can you?
Paul challenge.
Boring. Hesitation.
Hesitation and deviation. Right, now, Paul, you have the subject at last. 12 seconds, the worst hotel I ever stayed in, starting now.
The worst hotel I ever stayed in, without a doubt, was on the island.
Clement Charles.
Deviation, hesitation.
No, he never got so quick. He went so fast, I can hardly...
That's right. Yeah,
yes.
I couldn't hear it.
I don't normally play this game when we're having a barbecue. The chops are done.
you're a breath of fresh air. Paul, another point to you. 10 seconds. The worst hotel I ever stayed in, starting now.
Tahiti. What a terrible place. It was overrun by giant cats. And when I say they were big, they were enormous.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of they were.
I'm afraid that's true.
Yes.
So, Clement, you've got it with 1 second to go on the worst hotel I ever stayed in, starting now.
The Explorator.
So, what is the situation at the end of that round? Well, Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's just in fourth place, and he's just behind Julian Clary, who's a little way behind Paul Merton, who's 1 point only behind Tony Hawks, as we move into the final round. So, it's still anybody's game. Someone can come from the fourth position to the lead as they go rapidly forward. Julian Clary could be you, because you begin the next round, and the subject is Lily Bolero. A That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it, you know? Anyway, I throw it at you. Do your best. Lily Bolero, 60 seconds, starting now.
Lily Bolero was a drag act from Glasgow, famous, on the whole, for singing songs like Get the Meatballs Out, Mother, We're Coming to a Fork in the Road. Another one, which was a particular favourite, was She Sits Amongst the Cabbages and Peas. You may not remember them, but I certainly do. In fact, in the past, I've incorporated some of Lily Bolero's numbers into my act. Do you remember? I may not...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of remember.
Yes, you did remember before. I know it's a pity because you did enjoy it, but we're playing just a minute at the moment, and the laughs are important, but also the rules have to be applied. Clement, you have a correct challenge. You have 32 seconds on Lily Bolero, starting now.
Mrs. Bolero, who was Spanish and played the castanets, had a number of children, one of whom was called Lily. I met her in Madrid.
Tony challenged.
I thought there was a slight hesitation where he forgot where he met her. Yes.
It was a slight hesitation.
I don't want to worry anybody, but I think we're heading out to sea. Which makes the subject of whether Clement mentioned Madrid or not rather irrelevant to our future survival.
Well, I don't think so. I think we're all enjoying ourselves so much. We don't mind if we go out to sea with us, do we? No, let's all float out on a cloud of good humour. Just a minute like this. Who wants anything else? We'll go to sea. Tony, you had a correct challenge. You got Lily Bolero, and you have 21 seconds starting now.
My father was lucky enough to meet Lily Bolero in downtown Madrid. And what an evening it was. He was most impressed by her castanets, which she would swing around in quite a cavalier manner, so he told us. But that's another story, and one I won't go into now. She had a brief period as a wrecker in Cornwall, not long before she made her...
Well, Tony Hawks brought that round to a close with a flourish. You might be interested to know that the next subject was coming up, I've got down here, is in hot water. I think very soon we're all here going to be in cold water. So before that happens, let me give you the final score. Clement Freud, who often comes out on top, finished just in fourth place, but only 1 point behind Julian Clary. And he was 3 or 4 points behind Paul Merton, but 3 points ahead of him, with a magnificent total of 18 points, was Tony Hawk. So this week we say, Tony, you are our winner. So it only remains for me to say... thank you to our four fine, funny and humorous and clever players of the game. Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Tony Hawks and Clement Freud. I thank Claire Bartlett for helping with the score and blowing her whistle. We're grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. And also we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who thought of this game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely Cornish audience here in Foy. From my fine panel and from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in. Be with us next time we play Just a Minute.